Good morning, family. Welcome to Most Wanted 360. I hope everyone is doing good today. I personally have been going through some hard times. Been struggling. And I'm always going to be honest with you. I'm going to come from the heart. And I'm never going to hide anything. I have struggled the majority of my adult life with depression, anxiety, and periods of substance abuse. And by no means am I proud of these things. And I'm always working to get better. It's a bullshit game out there, you know? I mean, life, it's a hard road. It's never easy. I've come from a place where there was a lot of love, but there was also dysfunction. And I have kids of my own that I'm very proud of, and I have a son who he's had his share of struggles. And I just want to do better. And every day I know that if I keep my eye on the prize and believe in my dreams, that I can achieve them and not give up. There's no time for that. And if anyone feels that way today, and you feel maybe like you've been given a bad deal, or the people around you maybe not supporting you in the way that you think they should, you know, don't let it beat you up. Don't let it get you down. Believe in yourself. Believe in what you can accomplish. Believe in what you are, you know, what you're made of. You know, tough times don't last, tough people do. And I can go on and on with the little quotes that are made, you know, but the truth is, man, we just want to all do better in life. And that's what the fuck we need to do. You know, it takes time and it takes motivation and it takes discipline and determination to follow through on the right path. But we know what we have to do. You know, I've always said that in life, you know, it's like the cartoons. You know, you got the demon on, the little devil on one shoulder, and you got the little angel on the other. And every day we follow one or the other. In different situations. And it's just our decisions at every given moment that hopefully we're following that angel. And knowing that if we continue on that right path, good things will come. Thanksgiving is a few days away. And it's always a hard time for me. I'm a widower. I lost my wife 4 years ago, and it's never gotten easier. There's been times when I've felt happy, but there are also times when I look back and I miss many people in my life. My wife, my mother's no longer with me, and by no means is this a self-pity speech. This is just coming from the heart. That if you're struggling or you're going through hard times, find something that you love. Find something that'll keep you focused. Right now, I'm trying to do it with this podcasting. I'm reading every day. I'm studying, you know, my own studies, things that I find, you know, interesting, things that I find make me happy, that make me a better person. And yo, just go out there and get it. Fake it till you make it, and fuck the dumb shit. Life is too short, and don't sweat the small stuff, because like this book once said, and I forgot the author, at the end of the day, it's all small stuff. 100 years from now, nobody's gonna give a shit. So live your life, live it right, live it in the moment, but live it for yourself and for those that mean something to you and those you love. And I just wanted to put that out there. God bless, one love, peace. This is your boy Radimus Ian. This is Most Wanted 360. Thank you for tuning in. Hello guys, thank you for tuning in to Most Wanted 360 podcast, where we cover true crime, movies, history, mythology, and all of the above. Today's episode, I wanted to cover the Bath School Massacre, which was perpetrated in Bath Township, Michigan in 1927. It's an unfortunate and horrendous story. And while I find no pleasure in relaying you the details, it's nonetheless interesting. And it's just, to me personally, I always wonder what makes someone tick. I mean, as a human being, we all go through stressful situations, disappointments in our lives, things that, you know, might not always work out in our favor. And I'm sure we all have those moments where we feel like we deserve a better shot. But to take it out on your loved ones, on your coworkers, and on innocent children, I can't wrap my head around it. So anyway, in Bath Township, Michigan, in 1927, there was an individual by the name of Andrew P. Kehoe, who, unfortunately, he committed a mass murder, school bombing, with the use of a suicide truck. I mean, the guy, he went all out. He planned this out, and the use of dynamite, fire bombs, he had a rifle. I mean, he killed over 45 people, 44 at the school and his wife at home. And it was basically for revenge because he lost a local election, I believe, and he had some personal and financial stresses that just made him go over the top. So here we go. Andrew Kehoe was the 55-year-old school board treasurer and was angered by the increased taxes and his defeat in the spring 1926 election for township clerk. He was thought to have planned his murderous revenge after that public defeat. He had a reputation for difficulty on the school board and in personal dealings. In addition, he was notified that his mortgage was going to be foreclosed upon in June 1926. For much of the next year, a neighbor noticed that he had stopped working on his farm and thought that he might be planning suicide. During that period, Kehoe purchased explosives and discreetly planted them on his property and under the school. Kehoe murdered his wife, Nellie, sometime between May 16th and the morning of May 18th, 1927. She had just been discharged from the hospital with an undefined illness. He then detonated various incendiary devices on his homestead on the morning of May 18th at about 8:45 a.m., causing the house and other farm buildings to be destroyed by the explosive blasts and subsequent fires. Almost simultaneously, an explosion devastated the north wing of the Bath Consolidated School building, killing 36 school children and two teachers. Kehoe had used the time detonator to detonate hundreds of pounds of dynamite and incendiary pyrrhotol, which he had secretly planted inside the school over the course of many months. As rescuers began working at the school, Kehoe drove up, stopped, and used a rifle to detonate dynamite inside his shrapnel-filled truck, killing himself, the school superintendent, and several others nearby, as well as injuring more bystanders. During rescue efforts at the school, searchers discovered an additional 500 pounds of unexploded dynamite and pyrotol connected to a timing device set to detonate at the time as the first explosions. The material was hidden throughout the basement of the South Wing. Kehoe had apparently intended to blow up and then destroy the entire school. I mean, what the fuck? It's insane to me. Why the planning that someone would take to just do so much destruction and murder and damage? Apparently he had some tragic incidents in his life. There was his mom was attempting to light, a stepmother actually. After his mother died, he had a stepmom and lived with his dad and his stepmom. And they say that many people thought he did this. But I guess as his stepmother was attempting to light the family's oil stove, it exploded and set her body on fire. And Keo threw a bucket of water on her, but the fire was oil-based, so that action spread the flames more rapidly over her body, and she died of her injuries. And it states that some of his neighbors believe that Keo had caused the stove explosions. Wow. So he had some issues. Unfortunately. So in 1925, he was appointed to temporarily fill the position of town clerk, but then was defeated in 26 during an election they had. So the public rejection that he received from the community, I guess, angered him. And Mary J. Ellsworth said in his eyewitness account, the Bath School disaster, that he thought this rejection was the reason that Keo had planned his murderous revenge and the bombings to destroy the school and kill the community's children and many of its neighbors. So apparently he wanted to get back at the community. So he didn't even work for the school. See, I misunderstood. I thought that he worked for the town, and because they, how treacherous and fucked up is that? So he basically, to get back at the community, and it was a small community, I assume, he went after their kids. Wow. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just, the more I read this, and the more I'm, this is fucking horrible. This guy had problems, man. All right, guys, I'm back. I'm sorry, I had to take a quick break. And now that I guess he did work for the school, but he also was trying to get the job with the town. So at the end of the day, regardless, he still went after the kids. And I mean, I have my own, not my own special beliefs about that. I mean, it's bad all the way around. I mean, as a parent, as a father who has a 12-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old son, and an older daughter who in college, that's the, you know, it always breaks my heart when I see things like that about children. I mean, by no means am I perfect. I've made my mistakes. I've made bad choices in life. And, but to hurt children to that extent, and I know I'm not trying to compare, I'm just saying, like, you know, we all have our bad parts, I guess, we all have our negatives, we all have our positives. But you know, this guy was an upstanding, you know, member of the community for all intents and purposes, I would assume. You know, it was in those days, I'm picturing in my head, you know, sleepy town, you know, 1920s, I don't know. You know, everybody knows everyone. your kids, if you have any, it doesn't say if he had children, but I mean, you worked with these kids. You knew that you saw them every day. Like, it's how could you take it out on the kids? And I don't want to get turned this into a personal thing, but I remember, I live in Connecticut, and I was in town. I mean, I'm sorry, this situation, fuck it, I was going to edit it, I'm just going to keep going. When the Sandy Hook things went down, I remember, like, the lockdown, I remember getting calls from the school, from my kids' school, and the fear, and they gripped us as a community every day, and I didn't live in the same town, but the state, we live in a small state, word spread fast, and just, my daughter was the same age at the time of those shootings as those kids. I mean, it broke my heart. It really did. It shattered me to the bone. I mean, I was able to, I could relate so much, and as a parent, and I mean, I couldn't fathom the pain that they were going through, and to this day, I can't. So I'm just saying, you know, I know that you have those people that are disbelievers, and they believe that it was a conspiracy, and the anti whatever movement. I don't know. I don't believe that. I know in all investigations, mistakes are made, and it's easy to poke holes in stories, and it's easy to from an outsider's perspective to always say how things should be and how things in retrospect, I forgot how the saying goes, but you know, in other words, the way it goes, like you know, like if you could see the future. I'll get the saying, and if anyone knows it, please share it with me and post it and help me here. It's like if I'm drawing a blank, but in other words, it's always easier to be a Monday quarterback when you saw the plays, you know. So it's easy to say this should have been how this went down, or this is how things should have been handled. I'm a widower, and I lost my mom, and they were tragic. I mean, it wasn't through violence, but they were tragic. Any loss is tragic before its time. And I will say that even on the days when I lost my family and I was shattered to the core, there were still moments when there were things that I laughed about, which is weird, and it's so fucked up in a way. And it wasn't, I didn't laugh about that. But there were things, you know, I have a family that when we have humor, when we have, we tend to find a humor in things, or we try to look, and I'm not saying the brighter side of things, but where there's tragedy, there's comedy sometimes. And I'm not saying you laugh at dead children, by no means is that what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the human mind and the human spirit is a very strange place. We don't even have an understanding of ourselves. So I'm very slow to judge situations. And I know I've gone off on a tangent right now, but my point is, it's fucked up, and we need, and every day we see these situations occur, and it's to see one in 1927, I mean, anytime, it's just scary, man. It's scary that we never know. You just never know, you know, what can set someone off. And we're never truly safe. No matter what you put in place, no matter how many safeguards are put up, at the end of the day, you know, we can only trust our fellow man as far as we can. As far as we can tell, you know, I mean, we never know what the day holds. And I hate to end this on such a low note, but be safe, be kind to each other, and God bless. And it's a fucked up world out there, and there are individuals that will cause harm. Unfortunately, we hear about it every day. And I don't know. Thank you for tuning in. And this was Most Wanted 360. I bid you peace. Thanks, guys. And you can catch this podcast on all major platforms. Please leave me a message, leave me a like, a listen, and let me know what you think, and share any ideas you might have or for future episodes. And like I said, man, I want this to be something where we could just talk like regular people. You know, I don't want to be a talking head. I want to be a normal guy that just builds a fellowship where we could all just share and keep it moving. Thank you. Good night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.